Many of you have read the Gospels many times. You know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what we call the synoptic or the similar Gospels, all of them show Jesus interacting with and showing interest in and concern for children, which if you know anything about the ancient world, that might be a little bit of a surprise, because in the ancient world, children were expendable. Just before the time of Jesus, there were many ancient cultures that if your child wasn't strong, if your child values were for skill and combat, imperfect children who might not grow up to be good warriors were often just left to fend for themselves on the streets. You've probably heard the name Plato, still highly regarded today for his ethical teachings. Plato recommended that children of inferior parents and any who were born defective should be disposed of by the guardians of the state. Did you know that? The ancient world didn't place value upon children. And so children were very much at risk. Biblically, we know that Pharaoh had no qualms issue an edict to kill all the Hebrew babies born in Egypt to keep the Hebrew population under control. A little bit later in Jesus' day, Herod issued a similar edict to kill all the babies in his territory, the baby boys 2 years and under, so as to protect his throne and his kingship. In the ancient world, children who weren't wanted or who were deemed inferior or who were physically deformed in some way were often just abandoned and left on the street. Many such children were raised by individuals who later forced them into prostitution or who sold them into slavery. In the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, though, we see Jesus elevating children, giving them attention and love. Luke, in particular, makes this an emphasis in his gospel. It's if, as Luke wanted his readers to know and understand, God doesn't just love adults, but he loves children as well. In Luke chapter 18, there is a particular story told of a time when Jesus rebuked his disciples who turned away parents who were bringing their children to be blessed by Jesus. Many parents, just like those who were assembled up on the stage here a moment ago, were coming to Jesus and they wanted Jesus to bless their children. They wanted Jesus to put his hands on their heads and to bless them and to pray over them. And the disciples of Jesus were turning them away. Don't bother the master with your children. He's got more important things to do than to bless your children, than to be bothered by your children. And so they were turning the parents away, shooing them away. No, Jesus is he's much more important. His time is much more valuable than that. Well, when Jesus saw that, when Jesus heard that, saw what was happening, Luke tells us that he rebuked his disciples. Don't do that, he said. Let the little children come to me. Let me bless them. I want them to come to me. Let their parents bring them to me. I want to touch them. I want to hold them. I want to lay my hands on them. I want them to be around me. Don't send them away. Let them come to me. And then he added this, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Others in the world were saying, no, children don't matter. Children aren't important. Jesus comes along and his message is, no, look at them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And then he said, truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Many in his day were saying children don't count. Jesus was saying, if you don't become like a little child, you can't even be part of my kingdom. So he held them up as examples to be followed. Luke wanted his readers to know that both adults and children matter to Jesus. I've said this from this pulpit before. Maybe you didn't hear it. Maybe you don't really get what I'm saying. I'm going to say it again. Jesus is our model. Jesus is our pattern. If you're looking for a pattern to follow in Scripture for who and what we are to do, look no further than Jesus. What Jesus did, his people should do. What mattered to Jesus should matter to his people. Clearly, Jesus loved children and wanted to bless them. Children mattered to Jesus. They should matter to us as well. Someone might look at what we've done today, and they might even say something like, well, where do you get the authority to bless and pray for children in the assembly? My answer to that question is right here when you see Jesus blessing children. Jesus gathered little children around him, blessed them, and in my mind, that's all the authority we need to do the same thing. All we've done today is bless and pray for our children and encourage our young families to take seriously their charge to raise these children to know the Lord. My friends, if somebody out there or if somebody in here has a problem with that, take it up with the Lord. Take it up with Jesus. Got just a couple of more moments. I want to say two final things here as we close our assembly today. Parents obviously have the strongest influence on their children, and they have the bulk of the responsibility on them to raise their children to know the Lord. And I just want to say real quickly, to those who are young parents in here, whether you were up here on the stage or whether your kids are beyond 2 years old now, you need to know this. You have the greatest influence on your children. And you have the bulk of the responsibility to raise your children to know the Lord. You can't farm that off on anybody else. Okay? It's not Jan, it's not Jake, it's not Wes, it's not my responsibility to teach your children about Jesus. That's your responsibility. We're going to help. We want to be a church that helps in that process, but you can't put that off on the rest of us. That's something the Lord wants you to do. But as a church, we also have some skin in this game, right? We also have a part to play. As a congregation of baptized believers, we have some responsibilities to the children and the families that were up here and the others that are beyond the age of two sitting out here. We have some skin in this as well, and we need to live up to our responsibilities to be a church that is doing everything it can to create an environment that is conducive to the growth and the spiritual formation and development of our young people. Real quickly, I just want to say two things about that. One of the responsibilities we have is to create an environment that is spiritually healthy, joyful, where the Spirit of the Lord is present and His fruit is evident. Folks, we need to create an environment here where these young people see Jesus in the adults of this family. Our children need to know and see that Jesus is alive here, that His Spirit is alive here. They need to see evidence of that Spirit at work in our lives. They need to see those of us who are adults imitating Jesus. Our children need to see us loving on each other. They need to see us being patient with each other. They need to hear us speak well of each other. They need to see us quick to give each other grace. They need to see us serving sacrificially. And they need to see us worshiping God joyfully with glad and sincere hearts. Along with the example our children get from their parents and family members, they need this to be a place where they see and experience people doing the two things that Jesus said matter most: loving God and loving people. We owe it to our young children to create an environment here where they see the Lord living in our lives and seeing the evidence of His fruit in our lives as we interact with each other and work with each other and serve with each other and do life with each other. Our children need to see Jesus living in us. We need to provide and create an environment where Jesus is loved and Jesus is visible. Number two, we need to create and provide an environment where our young children feel affirmed, wanted, and loved. Well, how do you do that? Here's a couple of ideas. Learn the names of the children that were up on stage here a moment ago, and learn the names of the other children who are sprinkled throughout this congregation this morning. Speak to them when you pass them in the hallways. One of the things I appreciated most about Paul Randolph, and I wish Virginia was here to hear this, so maybe some of you can tell her the next time you see her. Very early in his relationship with my family, Paul learned the names of my kids. And he called their names when he spoke to them. That made a difference to my kids. There's no reason why the rest of us can't do the same thing. Many of you have got a cell phone. On that cell phone, you've got the app of our church with all of our families on that app. There's the kids. There's the pictures right there. Learn the names. When you pass these young people in the hallway, call them by name and say, "Man, it's good to see you today." Only don't use the word man or woman. Use their actual name. Don't say, "Hey, you, it's good to see you. It's good to see you here today." No, say their name. It'll make a difference. When they do something in the assembly, when our young people do something in the assembly, like two of them did last Sunday when Danny and some of us were gone, they were able to be a part of the worship team. Let them know how much you appreciate them doing that. When one of our youth comes to faith in Christ, I'm going to get some of you on this one. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. When any of our youth come to faith in Christ and they're baptized in this baptistry, come up here and hug their neck after it's over and let them know how glad you are they want to follow Jesus. Then go to lunch. Thank you, sister. Then go to lunch. Take a few moments. Come up here and hug them and say, man, welcome to the family of God. Then go eat your pizza. Then go eat your burger. Then go do whatever you need to do. What could be more important than putting your arms around a new brother or a new sister and saying, welcome to the family? Send a birthday card or a graduation card or a just thinking of you card every once in a while. When we sing a song that our young people clearly like, that we do occasionally, like we did this morning, sing it with gusto like it's your favorite song too, even if you really don't care for it. And if the kids want to clap, let them clap. You don't have to if you don't want to, but encourage them to worship the Lord in ways that speak to and bless them. Church, we who are older and who are more mature in the faith have the responsibility to create an environment where our young people feel like they count, where they feel affirmed, wanted, appreciated, and loved. And we all have a responsibility to do what we can to create that kind of environment in this church family. I could say more about these and many other responsibilities we have as a church, but maybe I should shut up while I've still got a job. I hope as we all leave here today, we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord and good to be in the presence of God and His people. Amen? Amen. Would you bless your neighbor? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.